It's Thursday, September 8th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. 2,000 years, we're still waiting. When is Jesus going to return? Well, it's going to happen one day. One day Christ will return, and when he does, there will be a great division at the consummation of the kingdom. Now, one side of that division, there will be, number one, irreversible justice, everlasting separation from God in a place called hell, which is where the king's eternal judgment is carried out. This is what we all deserve. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Revelation 21, 8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." That's what we all deserve. But on the flip side of that division, there's going to be inexpressible joy. Heaven exemplifies the king's eternal blessing, and God's people will experience unending joy. Revelation 21, 6 says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give the spring of the water of life without payment.'" All right, listen. If you've gone to the things of this world time and time again and you've come up empty, I've got good news for you. There is coming a day when we will experience eternal satisfaction and we will never, ever be thirsty again. It is full, it is free, it is only for those who are saved by the blood of Jesus. So at last, the gospel promises will be completely fulfilled, and nothing can spoil this happy ending. And listen, this is not a fairy tale story. Like, they really will all live happily ever after. Now, I'm going to end this with an outline that I got from David Platt. He asked the question, "Are you anticipating the kingdom?" Because if you are anticipating the kingdom, then that will have implications. And three major implications will be, well, number one, we look for his appearing. If we are anticipating the kingdom, then we look for his appearing. And in looking for his appearing, we see the temporary nature of this world. Look, we see all around us. We see sin and sorrow and sickness, separation, pain, death, all those things. But there is coming a day when those things will be no more. Those things are temporary. And we've got to see that, because when we face that deep pain, we can say it's temporary. It's temporary. We look for his appearing. And so we see the temporary nature of this world, but we also see the eternal importance of our work until he comes. We don't sit on our hands. We don't quit our job. We get after it for the glory of God in the workplace, in our families, and we share the gospel in all spheres of life because it has eternal importance. So we look for his appearing. Number two, if we are anticipating the kingdom, we live for his appearing. All right. We must pursue holiness in all areas of our lives. Like, we don't want the king to show up and find us asleep in our sin. That's not what the New Testament says. But we also must proclaim the gospel to all peoples of the world. All right, Matthew 24, 14, Jesus basically says, "This gospel of mine is going to be proclaimed in all nations, and then the end will come." So Jesus ties his coming back with the gospel going to the nations, which means we anticipate his kingdom. If we're anticipating his kingdom, then we advance his kingdom with great zeal. Now, we can't help but desire there to be more worshipers on planet Earth, in all nations, in all languages, in all peoples. That's the heart God has given us. We want to go to the nations. So we look for his appearing, we live for his appearing. Number three, if we are anticipating the kingdom, we long for his appearing. We long for the day when he will save us fully. And what I mean by that is, now, the work of Christ on the cross is enough to save us and justify us before God. We stand firm and confident in that reality. But there is coming a day that our salvation will be complete. And as the old hymn says, we will be saved to sin no more. We will have glorified bodies, and we will never sin again. We long for that day. We also long for the day that we will see His face. Revelation 22:4, it's five words, says, they will see His face. And those are perhaps the most important five words in all of Scripture. Those five words basically talk about what creation has longed for ever since Adam and Eve were separated from God in the garden and cast out of His presence. Like, no one in the history of redemption has been able to look at the face of God. All right? The most righteous we could put forward could not look at the face of God. But there is coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, when we will experience the goal of our redemption, and we will see His face. Don't forget that. Remind yourself of that, like, every day, and look for that. I mean, is there any greater motivation to spur us on in life? I want to end this way. The last paragraph in the last book in the Chronicles of Narnia series is called The Last Battle. C.S. Lewis said this: as Aslan spoke, he no longer looked at them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All right, put yourself in this right here. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. But now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. What a picture of heaven. Revelation 11:15 says, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. That's the story. And we're a part of it. Now, we're not central, but God has made us a part of it. May we play our part well. And in so doing, make great the name of Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily. I am bound, I am bound, I am bound for promised land. I am bound.